Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.
Good morning and welcome to the BizNews Daybreak. Today is Wednesday, the 26th of August. I'm Kerry Lanigan. RECM's Piet Viljoen has run money for three decades. At BNC9, he turned the lens on his own industry and asked a simple question. Does all this complexity actually make you better off? The full video is on biznews.com.
The basic purpose of investing is very simple. Giving up some of our money today in the hope of having more money tomorrow. But this creates uncertainty. Giving up something today in the hope of having something more tomorrow is not something that comes to us naturally. The marshmallow test proves that. Very few people can resist eating that one marshmallow in the hope of receiving more at some uncertain point in the future. It's hard to do. The investment industry's answer to this very simple problem is addition. Every day we have more information, more products, more experts, more research, more intermediaries, more regulation. Our problem of uncertainty is solved with the investment management industry's version of a Rube Goldberg machine. Now, I don't know if you guys know what a Rube Goldberg machine is, but it's a very complex machine that goes through a number of very intricate steps to achieve a very simple outcome. For instance, a switch on a light, you would have somebody rolling a ball, which would knock over some dominoes. The dominoes would knock over a bigger thing, which would knock support out from under a chair. The chair would tilt the lever would release water from a container, and that water would run a little generator, and the generator would turn on the light. That is a Rube Goldberg machine in action. And that is the investment management industry in action. The problem of uncertainty is solved by addition, by complexity. Complexity leads to confusion. Confusion leads to the need for advice. Advice leads to revenue for the investment management industry. Is it any surprise that the industry tries to make things as complicated as possible?
David Shapiro has watched markets from the JSE floor since 1972. At BNC9, he looks at what COVID really did to the global economy and what the new Fed chair's own words reveal about where we are on inflation. Check out biznews.com for more.
COVID changed our lives, and I don't think we have any idea of what it has done to the global markets, to the globalization, to supply chains. Go through, I'll give you the headings. Supply chain disruption, increase in unemployment, decrease in consumer spending, stimulus measures that the government introduced, remote work. Just think how that's changed. Just think what we have learned through remote work. E-commerce, just think of the things that came. Stock market volatility, global trade, sectoral shifts. I go to New York often. I have a daughter in Boston, and she was in New York. And so we go across often. I use New York as my focal point and then go up there. When you see how COVID has changed New York, how retail on the Upper West Side has fallen apart, you can find as much retail space as you want. How it affected traffic, how it affected remote work. Because people work remotely, the Midtown sector, all those places that served salads and things like that for people to eat a lunch, gone. Dramatic change in the way that it has affected New York and that. And the scars are still there. Now, we haven't got enough time. You can do it through question time and ask me further on this. But COVID was a massive disruptor. And when you think about Kevin Warsh at the moment, for me, the far most important statement that he made, I mean, this going back and saying, over the past 5 years, we have not overcome inflation. An admission that they don't know what's happening and that they have to go back and have these task force to go and look at inflation. It's an admission of failure. And he's been brave enough to do so. Don't attack him. He's not, the people say, oh, you know, he's hawkish on inflation and that, but he won't raise, and the bond vigilantes are having a go at him. He's saying, listen, we don't know. Those levers we were pulling were wrong. Are we going to try and look for the right levers to push?
Healthcare matters, but what matters most?
Having cover for the people who keep this business going.
Bonitas is there for you when it counts. Bonitas Medical Aid for South Africa. Visit bonitas.co.za and find your plan.
Sekelija CEO Pete Le Roux on South Africa and the United States. His argument: the US still treats South Africa like it's the country described in the 1994 Constitution. He says it isn't, and that American policy needs to catch up. The full video is on biznews.com.
The most advanced interruption of South Africa's trajectory today is domestic state proofing. State proofing begins when we no longer locate our theory of order, security, and constructive change solely in the state. To be state-proof is to be insulated from and increasingly able to resist the consequences of state failure and malicious state action. Relying only on the state for order and reform is the political equivalent of owning only one stock in your portfolio. When it fails, you are ruined. And at the March BizNews conference, Ceremonis, I described how individuals, businesses, and civil institutions are learning to carry order and cooperation independently of the state. That process in South Africa is young, but it is already laying the foundations for a better society under any election scenario. Today, I extend that argument outward. Can an external actor interrupt South Africa's trajectory for the better? The primary candidate for that is the United States. My argument is that South Africa is already being reconstituted and that American policy has an opportunity to account for the actual distribution of power, away from treating Pretoria as the whole of South Africa and towards constructive differentiation among its centers of competence, authority, and influence. The United States has twice played an important role in South Africa's political imagination. It inspired aspects of foundational South African statecraft. Pretoria itself was, at its founding 175 years ago, first known as Pretoria, Philadelphia. That was the original name, Pretoria, Philadelphia, after the birthplace of the American Declaration of Independence. More recently, the United States helped to interrupt South Africa's apartheid trajectory, encouraged by the ANC and many others across the world. Today, America has again signaled concern about where South Africa is heading. To understand what it may do and whether its actions may be harmful or helpful, it can be both, can be either. We should begin not with what people in South Africa might wish America would do, but with American interests.
And we close with Reuters' latest wrap of the U.S. markets. Here's what happened on Wall Street overnight.
U.S. stocks closed higher on Tuesday, with the Dow and S&P 500 each adding nearly 0.33%, and the Nasdaq climbing 0.67%. The gains could ease investor concerns sparked by a recent bond market rout that lifted yields and pressured equities. Keith Buchanan is senior portfolio manager at Globalt Investments.
The market, as we see it from our firm, is just grappling with what does this newer framework of higher yields, particularly along in the treasury curve, really means for risk assets across the board. We're coming to, you know, a lot of our work is honed in on this one metric and this one price, if you will, across risk assets for some time. It seems like the market is finally starting to grapple with, you know, what does that mean as far as discounting cash flows and how you price the rest of the risk landscape? And that process can be churning and frankly could introduce downside volatility. And that's one concern we have, is how that really filters through the how folks like myself that sit in our seats look at the world and how we price risk going forward.
Longer dated Treasury yields fell on Tuesday as oil prices dropped to a one-week low and traders continued to weigh the implications of Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent's decision to expand Treasury buybacks. Meanwhile, investors are looking ahead to NVIDIA's results on Wednesday as the next test for the earnings-driven rally. Shares of the AI chip giant closed more than 2% higher. Elsewhere in the market, shares of Dick's Sporting Goods plunged 30% after the retailer cut its annual forecasts. And shares of Target fell almost 4% after the retailer apologized for and pulled a Halloween costume criticized for evoking blackface, renewing concerns about brand missteps just as its financial turnaround effort had begun to gain traction. On the economic data front, Wednesday brings updated inflation figures for July, just one day ahead of the start of the Federal Reserve's annual Jackson Hole Symposium.
That's it for this morning's BizNews Daybreak. I'm Kerry Lanigan. Thanks for listening.
Daybreak on BizNews is proudly brought to you by Bonitas, the medical aid for South Africa.